All right, folks, get your finger out and pit your football knowledge against Team OTB to win big. There's €2,500 for the winner of the OTB Final One Standing League on the William Hill app. Guaranteed winner, and it's exclusive to our own league. Just sign up at William Hill Final One Standing. Use the code OFFTHEBALL, that's all one word and all caps, and make sure you sign up before Friday the 15th at 8 o'clock when the new season kicks off. €2,500 to the winner, guaranteed.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Michael McCarthy, very good evening
Hi.
To you.
Looking forward to Shells keeping it going with Croatian kryptonite.
Yes, indeed.
Most famous European result. There you go, yeah.
21 years ago, thereabouts. I was looking at it earlier, actually. Hajduk Split were Croatian champions at that point. Since then, Dinamo Zagreb have won 18 of the titles in Croatia. They have been stopped on two occasions, and on both of those occasions have been Rijeka, including last season. So Rijeka, they've won their only two titles in that 20-year period, stopping an 8 in a row, I believe it would have been last year for Dinamo Zagreb. So this is, I think a lot of people might have naturally slept on this last week because there wasn't a whole pile of expectation. But I guess we're all kind of catching up a little bit now, and this is a bloody good side. Mm. And they're definitely favourites on the night tonight, but wouldn't be surprised if we go the distance here. So we'll see how things pan out. 7:45 is kickoff time. Cameron Hill, good evening to you. We'll get into your news round in just a moment as well. And the news round is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Good evening, just to finish what I'd started
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Hello, no, excuse me, can you just hold on? I've got a line to read here.
Okay, we will go to events in Talca Park. The biggest game since probably 1963 when they went away to Barcelona for Shelburne on European context, but then it was
Theo Dunn. Poor Deportivo.
Ah, well, I don't know. I think going to the Nou Camp in 63 is pretty special.
Big, yeah.
But €4 million in UEFA prize money and a Europa League playoff, those are the rewards in tonight's huge European action at Talca Park. Shells, of course, have that 2-1 advantage when they face Croatian champions Rijeka in the second leg of their third round qualifier. Paddy Barrett, part of the Dublin Dock squad during their run to Europa League qualification in 2016, and he says he's keen to recreate those experiences with Shells.
Yeah, look, of course, obviously back then I was a lot younger, but look, it was an amazing experience that time, and it would be more amazing now that I'm more of a leader, more older, more mature player than I was back then. I had an amazing time back then, but I want to recreate them memories again this time with Shelburne, you know, and it's something that I'm driven to do at this club. To obviously, the plan is to get group stages in European competition, and I think it'd be an amazing to do so.
That kicks off at 7:45. Greek side PAOK or Wolfsberger of Austria await the winners in the playoff round.
It feels we're due an Irish club against PAOK at this stage. It feels like an all too regular thing that we haven't had yet this season. We should move on to a couple of transfer window pieces of news today, Cameron, because it's been another busy day.
Yeah, and Everton have completed the signing of Jack Grealish on loan from Manchester City until the end of this season. He'll wear the number 18 shirt on Merseyside, as I believe Phil Neville and Wayne Rooney did during their time there. Grealish has fallen out of favour at City in recent seasons. He joined them, of course, for close to €116 million back in 2021. He did make 32 appearances for the club across all competitions last season. But speaking to Everton TV today, he explained why he's made the move to Merseyside.
My two favourite players, English players ever, is Wayne Rooney and Paul Gascoigne. So I've always known that when they played here, you know, they both wore number 18. So, as soon as I knew this deal was close, I had a look and number 18 was free, which was perfect.
He didn't mention Phil Neville, funny enough, there,
no.
Cameron.
Yeah.
Not a hero of his, I imagine.
No.
Yeah, you are right, though. He did wear number 18 at Everton, so he's been rudely excluded from his list there of number 18.
I think it's fair enough to say that Jack Grealish looking up to Paul Gascoigne and Wayne Rooney
chimes.
Doesn't need to shoehorn in Phil Neville.
Poor Phil.
Phil Neville was a great signing for Everton. And funny enough, it's one of those ones that I remember a few years ago I looked at this kind of idea that Everton I think the wording I used in the article were absolutely obsessed with taking top six rejects, and went through and started at the Phil Neville transfer, which was very, very successful. And I think Tim Howard in there was like another one that was like worked out really well for them. But honestly, you're talking two or three a season that they dip into. You know, United it was most of the time. It's kind of Man City most of the time now. Throw in Spurs, Arsenal. They've got Dewsbury, Hall and Grealish already this year. They're keeping up the tradition. They might end up being very, very good signings and really help them. I kind of like the look of Everton a little bit this year for the first time in 5 or 6 years. You know, yeah. They've been on the continuous drop in terms of the level of quality and depth in the squad and everything like that. So they could be an interesting team this year, but my God, they do go to the well with the cast-offs of the top six.
They certainly do. Onto the saga that keeps on giving.
The big six, sorry, not the top six, of course. They are never the top six.
Is it the E-saga now? Are we calling it that?
Oh, very good. I see what you did there. Yep.
Thank you very
well
much.
Done.
Well, the Times newspaper in London is reporting that Newcastle United striker Alexander Isak has moved out of his home. The Sweden international has rented the property in Northumberland for 3 years since he joined the Magpies back in 2022, of course. He was the only first-team squad member not permitted to take part in the club family bonding day held last week, a barbecue, I believe. The player insists he won't play for the club again and wants to join Liverpool in the current transfer window, an interesting negotiating position to be in.
Yeah, I would have thought that Alexander Isak would have purchased a property, as I assume most footballers tend to do when they earn the money that they do, but he hates Newcastle so much and he hates the North East so much, he's like, no way, I am renting only. It's around $7,000 a month, is what it's out on the rental market for.
Oh yeah, so I'm sure he could afford it.
Hefty enough outlay, to be fair. It's been a bad time to be a Newcastle fan, getting rejected left, right and centre. If you like, distill it down to just the forwards this year, João Pedro, Ekitike, Šeško have all said no thank you to Newcastle United. And it could get more insulting. I was reading earlier on that their Isak replacement, Johan Wissa, could potentially be going to Saudi, which is just hilarious, really. There's no other way of putting it. I'm sorry, Newcastle fans, but it would be hilarious if Wissa went off to Saudi Arabia. Al Nasser are the club interested, which would compound the misery given Al Hilal signed Darwin Nunez and thereby funded in part Isak's impending move to Liverpool Football Club. So yeah, it's just like the Saudis have said to themselves, nah, we prefer our clubs based back home.
Well, aren't most of the clubs owned by the PIF in the Saudi Pro League as well? So it's kind of like, we're right here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Make this easy.
Well, like,
for us.
Newcastle, they genuinely have to look and see what level of priority they are for PIF at the moment. But like, you know,
well, that's it.
That's it. Look, and that's another thing. I don't think too many tears are going to be shed about that. But what I would say from a Newcastle fan's point of view, and I've been there as that sort of, you know, like the lower top tier supporters, you know, Cameron, you'll have seen this as well as a Leeds supporter over the years. Maybe it's, you know, maybe they need to get back to that level. Everton fans will understand. You get to that point where your big player just wants out and it becomes a saga and it's awful. And it really sours the taste, and it's a crappy way. It's a really crappy part of being a football fan. But what I always wonder is, Liverpool fans listening to this now and listening to him, like, I do not want to play them anymore. I want to go to Liverpool. That's like, I'm selling my house, or I'm leaving my house. I'm not going to barbecues. I'm not going to play for Newcastle again, and so on. Do they ever... It feels to me like football fans never have any kind of follow through on, well, hold on, this is how I felt when the Liverpool player wanted to go to Real Madrid. It's like they kind of think Isak is the hero in this story.
Are you saying football fans are irrational?
Well, like, obviously, but it's just one of those things that, you know, I don't think anybody ever considers the fact that when our guy wanted to go to Real Madrid, we were really upset with him. He was really bad. He was the bad guy there. But this guy, he wants to leave Newcastle to come to us. We're a much bigger club than Newcastle. He should get what he wants. This is a disgrace that Newcastle won't let him come to us. Mm-hmm. And this, by the way, is not actually a comment on Liverpool fans. This is all football fans. I would be the same if, like, you know, Blackburn or someone were holding out the transfer for the person that we decided to get while giving out about Manchester United doing the same for an Aston Villa player. There's levels to everything. I think it's just like Real Madrid are on top of the the pyramid here, and they're the only ones it doesn't happen to. It happens to everybody else along the way.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Newcastle fans would be sickened by Alexander Isak's behaviour and then really encouraged and lifted up a little bit by the behaviour of Yohan Wissa, who is agitating for a move from Brentford.
No longer a hero.
And then,
That rolls uphill, doesn't it?
Brentford fans are then really annoyed with the behaviour of Yohan Wissa, and then lifted up by the behaviour of Dango Ouattara at Bournemouth, who's agitating for a move to Brentford. The Brentford fans the Bournemouth fans will be really annoyed by Ouattara's behaviour.
There are no good guys. There are bad guys, but
this could all be a little bit of a stopgap here, because all the players that I've mentioned there seems to be a situation where no club is willing to let their guy go until they've signed a replacement. And it seems that this could all be frozen in place for a couple of weeks at least, because in week two of the Premier League on Monday Night Football, I believe it is, next Monday week, it's Liverpool versus Newcastle. And maybe in part that's what Newcastle are holding out for, where they're like, we don't want Isak to show up in the second week of the season and score against us. But I suppose they could come to maybe a gentleman's agreement as well. You've got a calf strain there, Alexander.
Secret handshake, yeah.
Yeah.
He won't have had much of a pre-season, so I don't know if he is going to be walking straight into the Liverpool team anyway. It feels like it's going to happen. But it's just, watching Liverpool on Sunday and then thinking as much about the players out as the players in, it's a transformed team. If they're looking to buy Guehi today and maybe another player, like there could be three more new signings. In the next few days, it's going to be amazing. Go win the league in your first season and then completely transform and rejuvenate the team.
Yeah, a seismic summer for Liverpool. You've got another piece of football news for us, Cameron?
Yeah, another player left out of a squad here. So Tottenham midfielder Yves Bissouma has been left out of their squad for the UEFA Super Cup. That's due to disciplinary reasons. Last season's Europa League winners will take on Paris Saint-Germain in Udine tomorrow. Manager Thomas Frank says Bissouma hasn't travelled with the group, so more on that, I assume, in due course.
Now on to Gaelic games.
The Mayo GAA executive committee meeting tonight to vote on the proposal of Andy Moran as their new manager of their senior footballers. We know, of course, no journalists will be permitted to these proceedings, as is Mayo standard or tradition, as you are too well aware, Owen. But fellow Mayo great Cullen Boyle and ex-Derry boss Paddy Talley also part of that proposed coaching ticket. Moran was, of course, in charge of the Leitrim senior footballers for 3 years before joining Gabriel Bannigan's backroom team at Monaghan, helping them get to an All-Ireland quarter-final. He won 8 Connacht titles during his 16-year inter-county playing career, hanging up his boots in 2019. And I believe his gym is just across the road from McHale Park in Castlebar, so won't have quite as far to travel this time around for a new job, should he get it.
Yeah, that's for sure. You can see it from the stand, the big stand in McHale Park, Andy Moran's gym. So an exciting ticket for Mayo. I think the way the season went, where it felt that they were out of the All-Ireland picture, maybe gives them a bit of grace and affords them a bit of patience. There's going to have to be more turnover, you'd imagine, in the squad over the next couple of years. I'm not sure, does there come any awkward conversations between Andy and Cullum and former teammates, or do their careers naturally just fade away anyway and there's going to be some retirements over the next 24 months. Either way, I think it's next season is a betting in year where they're still going to be close enough to a lot of the top teams, and then the following year is where the pressure is really going to go on, I reckon.
Yeah. If they don't lose that game to Cavan, who I think we can all agree they're better than, who knows how this season goes? You know what I mean? They should have obviously not lost to Donegal in the last minute. They're not that far away. They have some interest. And also, I think you look at Aidan O'Shea's performances this year, there's no reason to think they won't talk to Aidan O'Shea and say, here, Aidan, give us one more year. Killian O'Connor is still out there. He didn't retire. He took a year out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I would say it might go the other way. I'd say, look, absolutely having a clue, but I would say there might be a kind of we need 2 or 3 guys to bring this next generation through and just to do the old, bring Killian O'Connor back as the Jimmy Keaveney in 1974.
Yeah.
You know, just come back and kick the freeze, Jimmy. That's all we need. And then, turns out he does a lot more than that and is exactly what Dublin need to go and break through. I would suggest they actually should be looking, because 4 or 5 years ago, I think, or maybe, sorry, but 3 years ago, Mayo probably needed replenishing. And I think a few have gone since then. And now there's hardly anybody left of that experience. So I think you keep them until they've nothing left.
Colin Boyle, by the way, didn't show up to training at Off the Ball for the last few weeks, has moved out of his apartment here in Off the Ball Towers.
Mysteriously missing for the first time all season, the day after the All-Ireland final.
Agitating for a move to Mayo GAA until Mick finally said, go on, let's do it.
Can I say something,
you've got a replacement lined up, I presume, before allow Colin Boyle
to
leave?
We'll have a big unveiling after the county board meeting to decide to ratify. But look, we should mention that Colin has been with us for the last 2 or 3 years and has genuinely been one of the best and most insightful pundits that I ever remember speaking to. And for that alone, I just think there can't be anything but positivity for Mayo with someone like that coming in, because someone with that level of respect as well. We talked about this with what the Dublin ticket was going to be. You know, the ex-player role a lot of the time is because the person with all the experience in the world who is, you know, a mentor to the players don't even need to be a great coach and all that insightful. I think Colm is going to have all three levels of that when he goes in there. So, yeah, it looks like a really good ticket. And obviously, you've got a really renowned coach in Paddy Talley as well.
Definitely. Best of luck to Colm Boyle next season. We will miss you greatly in our GAA coverage.
Look, I don't understand. He's only a selector. Come on, do Monday nights. You know, we won't ask you about Mayo.
Double job.
You know, we will ask you about Mayo. We will.
Please, Colm, come back. It's not over yet. You do have another Gaelic game story for us here, Cameron.
Yes, this kind of follows on from yesterday's news about Clare, Limerick, Tipperary and Waterford all expressing their disappointment and concern over that Munster Council decision to cede the Provincial Football Championship. The GPA revealed that representatives from the four panels met last week and they are evaluating potential next steps. So as you might recall, Kerry and Cork will be on opposite sides of the semi-final draw for 2026. They will be seeded based on the previous year's Allianz Football League. Former Clare footballer Podge Collins joined Jaron Cullum on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, and he believes that the fallout from the decision by Munster has highlighted that the Provincial Football Championships are not fit for purpose.
Yeah, and it's just not justified. I see I have massive respect for the Cork management and Cork players, and we've had some great battles with them. Like, they've played Tip 5 times in the last, 15 years or maybe 12 years. And I think the aggregate score is like a couple of points, 2 points. Tip have beat them twice, Cork have beat them 3 times. Over my tenure, we played Cork twice. We beat them once in championship, lost to them once. The same can't be said for our results against Kerry. Listen, when we've played them in Cusick Park, we've given them good games in 14, 16. And even Munster final last year, even though it was 7 points, it was a good bit closer than when we went out to Kerry or played them in Limerick that year. But without getting into the weeds of results and the aggregate score of how the Munster Championship has been over the last 15 years, it's just not justified. And I just think this is going to result in something the players are going to have to do something again. And is it a case of these teams won't be playing in the Munster Championship, or they'll have to pull out of it for a year and just focus on whether it's the Talton, given their league standing, and focus on somewhere, probably Talton, given the structure the way it is. But they'll just have to focus on that for the year, focus on the league and focus on that. And listen, the Provincial Championships, the elephant in the room here is I don't think they're fit for purpose. They're not fair. It's the only sport in the world, probably, the way it's set up, the way it is. And I think this will shine a light again on the fact that they're not fit for purpose and it's time for change.
And then a final story, Mark English, another great day for him.
Yeah, smashing his Irish 800 metre record for the third time this season. The Finn Valley runner coming home second at the Hungarian Grand Prix in Budapest today, clocking in at a time of 1 minute 43.37 seconds. It's over half a second faster than his previous best, which was set in the Netherlands in June. His 6 best times at 800 metres have been set all this year, so going well heading into the World Championships in September.
Yeah, coaching change over the course of the winter has definitely helped Mark English. He is having the season of his life, I think it's fair to say. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for that. Mike McCarthy, thank you.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.